lidded eyes of the rednecks as they saw their neighbor bleeding to death on the filthy plank floor had shone with a malevolence that had startled Abe. It was a ferocious lust for vengeance on the pair of outlanders that wasn't likely to be quenched just like that. A garter snake slithered across the path right in front of Trader, making him stumble and nearly fall. He leapt clumsily to one side, coming close to dropping the Armalite.
Fucking reptile!
He paused for breath, resting a hand on the moss-slick trunk of a larch. Abe also stopped, swallowing hard, tasting the bitterness of bile rising in his throat. Below and behind him, he could still hear the posse coming after them. And there was a new sound.
They're getting the dogs after us.
They'll give up on it.
The trail wound higher, through chiffon layers of thin white fog. Every time there was a fork in it, Trader would unhesitatingly pick one and go herring up it. Abe was impressed at first at the old man's photographic memory for the valleys and hills, until he suddenly spotted what Trader was doing, alternately picking right or left turns, regardless of whether they might be right or wrong in their headlong escape from the pursuers.
You sure you know which way we're going, Trader?
Of course. Got a gift like a homing eagle for finding my way through the wilderness.
Pigeon.
How's that?
Homing pigeon, Trader, not an eagle.
Who said anything about a fucking eagle, Abe? Are you losing the clapper out of your bell? Don't go soft on me, Abe. Just don't do that.
They ran on. The cottage was built into a wall of gray rock on the right of the path, with a sheer drop of 300 feet down through the trees on the left. The cottage had two small windows on the first floor and three on the floor above. A narrow door stood open. Trader slowed, glancing behind, making sure that Abe was still with him.
I smell cooking.
Yeah, but I don't think we have enough time to stop for breakfast, Trader.
Who's there?
The woman appeared out on the path, a dozen feet ahead of them, as if she'd been propelled there from a gigantic catapult. A broom made from ragged twigs was between her legs, and she was naked. The long blonde hair that slithered over her pendulous breasts was plaited with all manner of herbs and wildflowers. Her face was smeared with streaks of soot, and her light green eyes were wide and staring, circled with yellow paint. She rode the broom as though it were a spirited stallion.
Whoa, Buck! Get spooked when he sees strangers. What's your business with old Meg?
Just passing through, lady. Though there's a good smell of bacon coming out of your front door.
No time, Trader.
Always time for some food, Abe. Take it while you can has always been my motto. Bread gets you through times of hunger better than hunger gets you through times of no bread.
Abe considered pointing out to Trader that this made no sense at all, but decided against it. The woman dropped her broom, instantly losing interest in it and kicking it with her bare feet. Trader edged toward the door of her home.
That's pretty hair, Meg.
Rosemary for forgetting and rue for laughter. And here's the Deathlands daisy with its white coat and heart of gold, but it's sorely withered.
Watch her, Abe.
Trader slipped into the house, emerging 10 heartbeats later with two fresh loaves in his arms, half a smoked ham dangling from his right hand.
You thieving bastards!
Dog's closing in on us, Trader!
Abe had his Colt Python drawn. The nude woman dashed into the house and came out again almost immediately, brandishing a long carving knife with a serrated edge.
Cut your fucking balls off and braise them with gillyflowers!
Buster, Abe!
Trader had the Armalite strung across his back. His hands were filled with the food.
Oh, shit!
Though he'd been a gunner on both War Wags 1 and 2, Abe's specialty had been machine guns, wasting people who were some distance off. Not a crazed naked woman who was so close he could taste her sweat. There wasn't time for any argument. If he didn't pull the trigger, then the madwoman was going to open up Trader's guts and spill his tripes all over the track. Abe pulled the trigger. The bullet had struck the woman beneath the right arm. She staggered backward, away from Abe, toward the Trader, blood gouting onto the path.
Again!
It was Nightmare City for Abe. The blonde woman lifted her hands and tore wildly at her own face, gouging great scarlet furrows down her cheeks with ragged nails.
Again, Abe!
She staggered to her right, stumbling over her own feet, disappearing over the brink of the drop.
Took you long enough.
Let's go! Sons of bitches getting closer by the minute!
Trader was off, his long legs eating up the ground toward the top of the steep incline, Abe at his heels. As he ran past the open door of the little house, he was surprised to see a pair of small children peering silently out at him. They had weirdly elongated skulls, tapering almost to points, and their eyes were stretched to slits. Neither of them showed any sign of emotion.
Shit!
Abe tripped and nearly fell, recovering to follow the rapidly disappearing trader. The next couple of hours were a blur of exhaustion for Abe. As they reached the top of the trail, it opened onto a broad plateau. The ruins of a stone-built church dominated the space, surrounded by dark trees. A herd of 20 or 30 wild ponies were driven close to panic by the sudden appearance of the two panting humans. They rushed clattering past Trader and Abe, heading for the beginning of the path down.
Give the bastard something to think about when they fetch up with them horses on a narrow twist.
Trader dropped to his knees to recover his breathing. Trader picked his way around the far edge of the plateau until he discovered an almost invisible trail among the bracken that took them steeply down the northern flank of the bluff. It was slippery and dangerous, with the roaring of water from somewhere below them, among the trees.
Fuckers won't find it easy, following us with their dogs.
Think there's a falls down there?
Abe's breathing was painful, rasping and burning in his chest. His eyes kept watering, and his mouth was dry. He had always been unlucky with wounds, and several of them were reminding him of their existence, particularly his damaged knees and lower back and right shoulder. One of the bottles of pulque had broken when he fell against a tree, and his coat and pants stank of the fiery homebrew.
Sure to be. Once we cross that, they'll lose the trail and give up on us. Must admit, Abe, that I'm surprised they keep on after us. You swore they wouldn't bother.
No, I didn't.
Sure you did, Ryan. I mean, Abe.
If you say so, traitor.
While they recovered, ears straining for the pursuers, they divided up the stolen food, saving some of it for later. Between them, they managed to get through two-thirds of the remaining bottle of pulque.
Follow it until we can find a way over. Going faster than goose shit off a greased shovel.
The river was in full spate. A dozen yards wide, it was crashing over tumbled rocks, foaming and frothing, drowning out almost any other sounds. It made Abe nervous, knowing that the hunters could be within 10 feet, and they'd never hear them. Trader led the way, following it upstream, knowing from experience that pursuers would automatically assume that they'd gone the other, easier way. He pointed to a place where the jagged tips of two huge boulders were just breaking the surface of the racing, peat-colored river.
There!
I'd never make it!
Abe was feeling dizzy from a dangerous combination of fatigue and the effects of the potent alcohol.
Of course you can!
I can't, traitor!
The older man turned to look at him, his eyes suddenly cold and dead, sending a chill of fear through Abe. He knew that expression from the old times.
I say you can do it, Abe.
Oh, then I guess I can.
Abe's reward was a broad smile, with a pat on the back, so hard it nearly knocked Abe over. And as it turned out, Trader was right. Apart from a slip in midstream that soaked him to the skin, Abe made it across, blowing freezing water out of his mustache. Trader followed him, hopping from stone to stone, with the agility of a man a third his age.
There! Keep moving and you'll soon dry out.
Yeah.
Abe felt sick, and the pulque had given him a ferocious headache behind the eyes. Trader stared at the dark mountainside behind them, seeing no sign of life.
That's done, then.
Witherell Springs was typical of thousands of frontier pest hole vills. There was a narrow main street that choked you in dust during the summer and drowned you in thick black glutinous mud throughout the rest of the year. After a quick tour of the small ville, Ellie picked an abandoned paddock to put on their show. She went into the Shangri-La to announce it.